Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High in studio with you this morning. Right next to me is Brandon Sabin. And now joining us in studio this morning is Virgil Peck. Good morning, Mr. Peck. Welcome back to KGGF. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Oh, good morning. It's a great morning. Always a pleasure to be at KGGF to visit with you good folks here. A beautiful morning to be out and about. My car thermometer said 61 degrees.
Ooh, yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to get about to the mid-70s today, so you cannot beat that here in southeast Kansas. And you're here today. There's been kind of a, you know, the hot debate has been during the legislative session. It's been the call for Medicaid expansion, even before the legislative session started, has been kind of the hot debate for a while, and this has come up recently, and want to know, basically, you press release went out, and you wanted to talk about Medicaid expansion.
Well, let's before we kind right. of dive into a little bit. Obviously, this kind of goes back to beginning of the month. You had several Montgomery County Republican activists convene in Independence, engaging in this conversation regarding the proposed amendment to the Kansas Constitution and the effects that Medicaid expansion would have on taxpayers here and healthcare in general in Kansas. A lot of people obviously are in favor of Medicaid expansion, but you are on the other side of it. Now, there are reasons for this, and there are a lot of information, a lot of details we can get to, but kind of going back to that meeting at the beginning of the month, how was that put together, and how do you think that all went?
Well, I thought it went well as far as the meeting was concerned. It was very informative and educational for everyone who attended. We had people who support the constitutional amendment, which is really the most important issue for a lot of us. And then there was also those who support and oppose expanding Medicaid in Kansas. The issue of Medicaid expansion, Brandon, there's a lot of misunderstanding, sometimes false information, because people aren't getting all the information. They're only getting bits and pieces. But the constitutional amendment is really what precipitated having the meeting in Independence, and the fact that the state convention in Olathe, the state Republican convention in early February, our state party chairman read a portion of the party platform as it relates to Section 8. And basically it says in Section 8 that the Kansas Republican Party urges the governor and or legislators to oppose Medicaid expansion or other federal health care legislation similar. And so we got together because these two issues, Brandon, they actually dovetail together. If we don't pass a constitutional amendment in the state of Kansas, and this constitutional amendment, even though it's called pro-life or anti-abortion, which I don't like the term anti-abortion because it's pro-life, but I'm going to back up and just give the listeners a little bit of information that I believe is important to this discussion. In 2015, the Kansas legislature overwhelmingly, in a bipartisan manner, passed legislation, Senate Bill 95, that said, we outlaw dismemberment abortions in the state of Kansas. And that is where a child is torn limb by limb and removed from the mother. It was immediately, there was a suit brought against that legislation. It took 4 years. Finally, on April of last year, April of 19, almost a year ago, the Kansas Supreme Court said that the Kansas Constitution provides a right to abortion in the state of Kansas. Now, that just baffles me and blows my mind, because I know the framers had no knowledge or thinking of abortion back when they put together the Kansas Constitution. But because the fact that our Supreme Court has said our state constitution provides a legal right to a constitutional right to an abortion, and that means that that's going to be the law of the state of Kansas, because you cannot trump the Constitution. An important little factor here, Brandon, is the fact that since it's the Supreme Court that says it's a state constitution, that cannot be appealed to a higher court, because we're talking about our state constitution. But because of that ruling, that takes away from the legislature any ability to regulate abortion in the state of Kansas. And many of us believe, constitutional lawyers, business people, just many Kansans understand, that as current laws on the books that regulate abortion, restrict abortion funding are challenged in court, the courts will have to say the Kansas Constitution provides a right to abortion, so they're going to strike down all these laws one by one by one. They won't just go in and wholesale strike them all down. They will have to be challenged. And we're confident that Planned Parenthood and other such abortion providers will challenge these. So there's a proposal that it was voted on in the Kansas legislature, passed the Senate overwhelmingly, failed in the House, Senate Concurrent Resolution 1613. But there's another one that's exactly like the House Concurrent Resolution 5019 that would allow. And that's the thing, Brandon, that I want the listeners to understand is the Kansas legislature cannot change the Constitution, only the people. So this vote in the Kansas legislature is simply, and I mean simply, nothing else, simply saying we're going to allow the Kansas citizens to vote. So any legislator who votes no is saying, no, I don't want the Kansas citizens to vote. Now, will the constitutional amendment pass if it gets to vote the people? I don't know. Probably. Hope so. But we don't know. But if we don't change this as it relates to Medicaid expansion, if the legislature expands Medicaid, which I personally hope they don't for a variety of reasons, which we'll talk about a little bit, according to other state examples that said their constitution has a woman's right to abortion, Kansas taxpayers are funding abortions. And we don't want, I don't want my tax dollars going to end the life of children before they have a chance to be born. And that's what would happen if the legislature expands Medicaid. Now, there's disagreement on that, but these are people that support Medicaid expansion, and they don't, they just don't like the discussion that, well, you know, we got a little hiccup here. But that was the reason for the meeting, was to talk about the constitutional amendment and then talk about Medicaid expansion.
And one of the things that you had mentioned, that those out there that might, just off the vague question maybe being asked, are you in a approval for Medicaid expansion? There's a lot of people out there that would say yes, but you would come back and say, well, there's a lot of information that you might not be understanding or that you might not be informed about. So, you know, what's some of that kind of information that people might not realize who are approved or who have the approval of the Medicaid expansion?
That's just it. Let's set it up just a little bit. What is Medicaid? Medicaid is a state federal program that provides medical coverage for low-income individuals. Currently, and this is an important factor that's not talked about, currently, if you are disabled, you qualify for Medicaid. If you are a pregnant woman at 171% of the federal poverty level or below, if you are an infant or a child at 138% of the federal poverty level, and the poor and seniors, all those people are currently covered under Medicaid. So that's what Medicaid is. Medicaid expansion would bump up to 138% of the federal poverty level. Anyone who is at that level or below would qualify for Medicaid expansion. That's for a family of four, by the way. That's about $34,500, which is not that bad of income in Southeast Kansas. Not a great income, but survivable. Medicaid expansion, Brandon, what it would do, because most people that need Medicaid coverage are already covered, which, by the way, not all of them are receiving services. There's about 5,500 on a waiting list who aren't receiving Medicaid services because of underfunding by the legislature. And I understand that, but the main thing is lack of facilities. So we've got people waiting, and Medicaid expansion will not help them. As a matter of fact, it will hurt, because it will put able-bodied, working-age adults, 19 to 64, ahead of them in line. So that's Medicaid expansion will expand Medicaid coverage or benefits to persons who are able to work because they're not disabled, because if you're currently disabled, you're already covered, would provide medical coverage. And this medical coverage, by the way, is taxpayer funded to the tune of $130 million would have to be appropriated to the state budget. $130 million. I want to repeat that. Now, there is some economic benefit. So according to the Kansas Health Institute, which, by the way, is a left-leaning group, so they're not a conservative group, but I trust them. They usually do a good job with that reporting. They say it will be a minimum of about $64 million. So it's going to be expensive to Kansas taxpayers, and it puts people on the government dole that could go get a job And one other important factor, people say, well, this will cover 130,000 Kansans. Yes, it will. But 55,000 of that 130,000 are currently covered under private insurance. They would move from private insurance to government-funded insurance. So I just thought I would set that up a little bit. What is Medicaid? What is Medicaid expansion? And start getting into the information about why I don't believe it's a good thing. And by the way, we're talking about Kansas. This relates to Oklahoma. We got a lot of Oklahoma listeners. Medicaid expansion in Oklahoma is being discussed, and in Missouri. We got some Missouri listeners. So here in the Midwest, we, being conservative part of the country, have said, you know, we're not sure we want to expand health care coverage, incentivize, basically, Brandon, incentivize mediocrity. Because if your income goes up, then you're kicked off of Medicaid expansion. I'm glad answering questions or go. I can talk for a couple hours on this.
Right. We're talking with Virgil Peck here this morning, chairman of the Montgomery County Republican Party. Of course, we're talking Medicaid expansion. So, again, with those who do oppose, obviously, again, when you mention the it's going to cost Kansas taxpayers an estimate of $64 million yearly, and then that's going to increase, I guess, with time. So it's only going to go up from there. And then basically, if you're, you know, 1 to 18 or 65 and older, that kind of puts you in a difficult position because this goes with adult ages 19 to 64.
Right. And that's the reason I appreciate you mentioning that, because if you, by the way, I want to make sure people understand, we're talking Medicaid, not Medicare.
Yes.
Both names are very similar. Medicare is health care coverage for senior citizens 65 and above. We have all and are, those of us who are working, are still contributing into that fund to pay for that. So we're not talking Medicare. That will not change. That's not a state program. But Medicaid, again, if you're 18 and under, you're going to qualify currently. If you are above, you qualify for Medicare and Medicaid. And if you're disabled, and if you're poor, and if you're a pregnant woman, you currently qualify for Medicaid. So again, expansion is strictly for people who are 19 to 64, who are working age, non-disabled adults. And the supporters of Medicaid expansion will say a couple things that I don't disagree with. One, they say, well, I disagree in a little bit. They say it will save rural hospitals. Well, the answer is no, it will not. Yes, it will help. But, Brandon, it's like, let's say your family budget is $300 short every month. Your income and your budget don't match up. Your budget's $300 more than you're bringing in. If I gave you $100 a month, hey, that would help. But you're still $200 short.
Right.
So same way with hospitals. If we expand Medicaid, it would provide a little bit of additional money, but it won't save any of them.
It's not going to solve the problem.
Not going to solve the problem. There are other solutions I think we should discuss, and we'll get to those. They talk about it will bring federal money to Kansas that's now going to other states. False. Absolutely false. There's no money going to other states that would come to Kansas. As a matter of fact, we all know that the federal government is deficit spending. And if we expand Medicaid, we're adding to that deficit spending. And I can't help but think it's a shame, and I can't change it. I'm not a congressman, a senator, but it's a shame that our country is overspending so significantly every year, piling debt upon debt upon debt upon our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and who knows how many future generations. And I can't help but think and ask the question, Brandon, what if the greatest generation had had that mindset? What if those folks who fought World War II and who went through the Great Depression, what if they had the mindset, well, we don't care about future, it's all about us now? And that's what it bothers me, that our country's in that situation, because if they had that mindset, they would have been piling debt upon us. So it bothers me that there are those who say, well, we need to do this because we need it now. Well, I take a different position. I think we should be looking at alternative options. I think that the federal money, their deficit spending. By the way, there's no dedicated fund for Medicaid. For Medicare, there is. Medicaid, if the state expands it, they're going to have to come up with funds for this expansion from other programs. What are they going to cut? Are they going to take the money from education, from law enforcement, from senior services, from roads and highways, which, by the way, they are doing a significant amount of that already. So it's not like there's funds that we can just dip into And there are several other reasons I think it's not a good idea. One, right now, the Supreme Court just a couple weeks ago said, the United States Supreme Court, yeah, we're going to look at this. It's being challenged, Obamacare. And by the way, that's the only reason Medicaid expansion is being discussed, is because of Obamacare. It's being challenged by 14 states, including Kansas and our U.S. Attorney General Barr, the constitutionality of it. Courts said they're going to hear it. If they say it's not constitutional and we have expanded, what are we going to do? Also, there our Attorney General Smith, Derek's a great guy, extremely intelligent. He didn't testify in support or opposition to Medicaid expansion, but he told the Senate committee there are three current pieces of litigation before the courts that you need to be aware of. One is, we mentioned, the individual mandate that's being challenged. Another is to the health care provider fee that's going through the courts. And then the religious liberty cases, the Little Sisters of the Poor case. Those are all being challenged through the courts, and if any of those go the way that a lot of us conservatives hope they go, it will put a real damper on Medicaid expansion as far as what it costs, what it does, and how detrimental it could be to the state. I'm glad to answer questions or continue going, Brandon. I don't know if you, as I've been talking, if things came to mind that right. You want to ask.
Well, I know there's... You know, at least with the information we have in front of us, and you've already kind of touched up on some of these, but just basically, you know, for those here in Kansas, that the people need to understand basically five key facts about all of this. And you mentioned, of course, the no hospital would be saved, might be helped, but not necessarily saved. Of course, currently without Medicaid expansion, some 5,500 disabled and elderly persons who qualify for Medicaid, but are on that, you know, quote unquote waiting list, you know, or, you know, that's something that is trying to be solved as well. And of course, the 130,000 persons that support Medicaid expansion claim that they would be helped, but, you know, no less than 55,000 currently covered by private health. So again, this is all stuff you've kind of gone through, so to speak. But, you know, again, we're trying to maybe provide information for those who think they are all in for Medicaid expansion, but at the same time, there's all these little hidden things that, you know, a lot of the general public just don't see or don't hear of. But it is good to get this information out there.
Well, that's just it. You will hear there are polls that Kansans overwhelmingly support Medicaid expansion. Well, if you just ask the question, do you support expanding health care coverage to 130,000 Kansans, and that's the end of the question, most people say yes. But when you add to it, do you support expanding health care coverage through Medicaid expansion to 130,000 Kansans? And it will cost Kansas taxpayers $64 million, and it will put 55,000 people on the government dole who are currently on private insurance. It flips. Most people oppose it. About 80% oppose it when they realize, oh, it's going to cost us money. Oh, and we're taking people off of private coverage. Oh, and these people are working age adults. So again, it's one of those issues that I believe it's important for us to have an honest, calm discussion, factual discussion about what it will and will not do. It's not 100% negative, but I believe the negatives outweigh the positives. Is the reason that the Montgomery County Republicans and the state of Kansas, which, by the way, I had a conversation with the one of the executive directors yesterday to make certain that they knew I was going to be talking on the radio. And I said, what should I say? They said, just lay out the facts. We oppose Medicaid expansion. And why?
Well, and that's one thing. You know, it's hard to vote on something, whether you're one way or the other, if you don't have all the facts, if you don't know exactly maybe the fine print, so to speak. So, again, it's hard when someone thinks they're, you know, opposed or they approve something and they go in and they're getting set to vote, but they might know 30% of it and not 100% of it. So, you know, that's what we're trying to do, is get all the information out there so people can understand really what is happening. So what's next, I guess, moving forward from here on forward with this and everything that goes with, I mean, what's next going forward?
Well, in the Kansas legislature, of course, they're sort of come to a bottleneck because I applaud Senate President Weigel for standing up and saying, you know, we're not going to even discuss Medicaid expansion until we deal with the constitutional amendment. And I don't understand, honestly, Brandon, why the legislature's not saying, okay, Kansas citizens, you got a right to vote here. Vote on the constitutional amendment. But until that's taken care of, they were not going to deal with Medicaid expansion. But there are two bills out there, or which we already mentioned, one, the constitutional amendment, but the other is Senate Bill 252, which would expand Medicaid. So the legislature will be looking at this and discussing it. And I urge citizens in Kansas and Oklahoma and Missouri to contact their legislators and give them their thoughts on Medicaid expansion. But we shall see. There is going to be a push. Some of the, and you reported on the fact that there was some obnoxious people in the Capitol that laid down on the floor blocking the path of senators getting into the Senate chambers. If you support Medicaid expansion, that's not the way to go about it. If you oppose it, that's not the way to go about it at all. But we need to have calm, rational, factual discussion. But we shall see. The legislature holds all the cards here. There is what's considered a bipartisan solution. Well, I've read that legislation. I understand it. And there are several things in that legislation we could talk about if we have time that I like, but then I don't think they'll ever make it through the whole process.
Yeah, and if you want to expand on that, feel free.
Okay.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Well, part of Senate Bill 252 is there's a work requirement. And a work requirement means if you're going to be on Medicaid expansion, you've got to work or you got to be in job training and so forth. Well, that's been struck down by the CMS, Centers for Medicare, I don't even know what that stands for, but the federal government has said no work requirements. Other states have tried it. So far, that hasn't passed. Number two, that legislation says that if the federal government ever strikes down Medicaid expansion funding, it'll go away. Well, Brandon, common sense tells you once you give a program out there, taken away, how in the world would we ever do that? And I don't see that as happening. And I need to, I guess, look at my notes and see, oh, there's a, I can't believe this. There's a hospital surcharge in Senate Bill 252 that's supposed to pay for Medicaid expansion. And I scratched my head, hospital surcharge. That means hospitals will have to pay a surcharge to receive money from Medicaid expansion. The surcharge, Brandon, we know who will pay for that. All the rest of us.
Right.
Just like businesses don't pay taxes, people pay taxes. This surcharge will be something that the rest of us will have to pay. And so there are those who support it. There are those who think that we got to get her done. Hospitals, sadly, have supported it. And I understand they want the additional money. I have no problem with that. But there are other solutions I believe that we should look at. One of them is Senate Bill, I believe it's 381. I brought it with me and got it in this stack of papers. And also House Bill 2522. And both of those are solutions that are more common sense solutions. 2522 would provide $30 million to rural hospitals. And that's one thing about Medicaid expansion that people aren't realizing. Most of the money, if we do this, is going to go to the five largest counties. It's like 60-70% of the money will go to the five largest counties. 2522 legislation will only provide money to rural hospitals. It excludes Johnson, Wyandotte, Sedgwick, Douglas, and Shawnee counties. They cannot receive any of this rural money. And then 281 is a transparency. It would establish a health care price disclosure act, which would require health care professionals and medical providers to publish prices. And I have discovered, because I'm self-pay, meaning I pay for my medical expenses, that when I'm paying for it, I'm going to shop around. I have been shocked and amazed at the difference in the prices that you find when you're looking for medical services. I won't get into a specific story, but I could about how I found something that saved me about $1,200.
Wow.
And but so it's one of those things that, again, I appreciate the opportunity to be here and appreciate the opportunity to visit. But the constitutional amendment is vital that we get that passed. Whether you are pro-life or pro-abortion, you should want the constitutional amendment to pass for one reason, and that is that the elected legislature will then control abortion laws. And Brandon, we don't know that the legislature will always be conservative or pro-life. They may support unfettered abortion down the road. Well, we just don't want an unelected court making all these decisions for us. I want my representatives, who I can talk to and who I can say, hey, vote this way, that way, to make the decisions. So that's vital that we get that done. And then Medicaid expansion, I just don't think it's the right thing to do for Kansas because of the cost and the fact that they're, as Republicans, we believe in incentivizing people to improve themselves, not just providing them handouts. And Medicaid expansion, I'm going to mention one more thing, and then again, I'm willing to stay here all morning. But Bernie Sanders, everyone knows who Bernie Sanders is, a self-proclaimed Democratic socialist. He tweeted out, quote, "Every state must expand Medicaid as we work to make health care a right through a Medicare for all single-payer system," close quote. So Bernie Sanders is saying Medicaid expansion is what we need to do as we are marching toward Medicare for all. Well, if a socialist thinks Medicaid expansion is a great idea, shouldn't that cause us to pause and consider, well, maybe we ought to look at this again?
Yeah.
Unless we want to be a socialized medical country type of thing. But again, I appreciate it. Our discussion has helped some people to get some information. KHI.org is a great place to get that. That's Kansas Health Institute, but KHI.org. The Foundation for Government Accountability has a great research paper. There's a lot of good information out there about what Medicaid expansion is and is not. And I believe it's just important for Kansas citizens to look at that and realize that, if we do this, what the ramifications will be.
Well, it's just good to have all the facts and to know exactly what you are getting.
Right.
Because a lot of people who approve, a good portion probably didn't understand some of the fine print that we were discussing here today.
Well, and that's the reason I really appreciate KGGF. KGGF does a great job of providing information not only on this, but on a lot of topics during your news reports. And this kudos to you, Brandon, and to Kyle and the others who I'll even give a little kudos to Matt Jordan, which hurts me to say it. No, I'm kidding. I like Matt. Great guy.
He's good. Oh, Matt. We give him a hard time.
But it's just good for citizens to be aware of information,
yeah,
to receive information, to make informed decisions, because the decisions that the legislature makes impact all of us.
And you said KHI.org if someone wanted to find out more information or obviously, get a little bit more informed.
And that's a great place. And the reason I stress that one is it's not a conservative. I'm a solid conservative. No questions asked. No one's ever questioned that. But KHI is a center-left organization. So it's not like I'm saying, hey, go to this conservative group. KHI, you'll see some things on there that why Medicaid expansion would be helpful, like bring some money in. But is that money really worth bringing in? But anyway, we've talked about
that. Okay. Well, Virgil Peck, we really appreciate the time. As always, we'll get you in another time here as well if we need to kind of expand on this a little bit more. But obviously, there's still kind of a nice time gap, before all this kind of gets settled out. But at least it's good to inform everybody of all the fine print.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. It's interesting. I keep very close tabs on the Kansas legislature as to what's going on up there, and it's interesting what's going on right now.
Yeah.
And, so we'll see if the constitutional amendment gets out, which is vital, and then Medicaid expansion, we'll see what happens there as well.
Anything else before we get you out of here?
Well, not today. Might be something down the road, but we'll talk about that down the road.
Sounds good. Virgil Peck joining us here today. Kyle, appreciate it very much as well. We will take a break. Open line is coming up here in just a little bit on KGGF.